Good morning. Thank you for joining us today. We are going to begin a new series today called The Parables of Jesus. And this was actually not the game plan. I was going to go into a series on Joseph, going from Jacob to Joseph. And I was having trouble falling asleep one night this week. And when I was having trouble falling asleep, God began speaking this particular parable to me today. But also just that we needed to look at the teachings of Jesus, and Jesus often would speak in parables. So talking about parables, we need to first talk about what is a parable. A parable is a story used to illustrate a spiritual lesson. This is the way of teaching that Jesus would often employ. He would tell or teach the people that were listening a spiritual lesson through some type of story that they would be able to relate to. So the question is, why would Jesus not just speak plainly to them and just teach the spiritual lesson? Well, that's for two reasons, and these reasons actually sound like opposite reasons, but they actually work well together. First, Jesus wanted to use real-life examples that his followers would have understood to communicate a spiritual lesson so that they could get a better mental image, so that they could get a better understanding of what he was trying to say. But on the flip side of that, actually what Jesus was doing was he was teaching in parables so that he was teaching a truth without blatantly saying it. And it required his followers and those who were listening to actually do some thinking on what was being taught. They would end up having to go home and think about the example that Jesus used, and they'd have to try to figure out what Jesus was saying. Jesus tells us this much in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. The disciples asked him, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more and will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." Jesus is saying that it is that the people that are listening have some knowledge of the kingdom of heaven. And so those that already have some knowledge, they will have more in abundance. But those who do not have, they will not even know what's being spoken. And that's where he's talking about those that hear, they do not hear, and those that see, do not see. What Jesus is essentially saying here is that those who are hungry, those who are wanting to know more, those that are moving towards God in their life, they're going to come to know more. God's never going to turn away someone that's hungry, hungrily seeking after him. So Jesus, he would teach in parables, I think, to filter out those who were not actually interested in learning about Jesus. Jesus would gain these huge crowds. And obviously, I think we would follow Jesus today, whether we were really interested in following him or not. If someone was doing miracles, if someone was doing the things he was doing, it is going to attract a crowd, period. Well, Jesus would teach in these parables so that those who were really interested in learning more would continue to think about what Jesus had taught and come back and maybe ask Jesus what he meant, which often in the scriptures, Jesus will explain what he meant to those that are still willing to ask. I believe this a way of teaching would immediately filter out people who were just fans of Jesus, who would go home and not think about it anymore, and it would keep those following him that were really interested in following Jesus. From my research, Jesus told about 30 parables in the Bible, and I'm sure he taught more than that that we don't have recorded. Today I want to start with one that I've always understood as a foundational parable. And it is the parable of the sower. That's probably how it is in your Bible. I call it the parable of the four soils. And that's where I kind of want to focus in on today is the four soils. Because there's two ways to look at this parable. You can look at it as the farmer, as the person who is planting the seed, or you can look at it as the soils and asking which soil represents you. And so in this parable, I want to go through some foundational things before we get started. First, it's going to mention a farmer. And the farmer is anyone who spreads the word of God. So that could be a pastor, that could be a friend, that could be a family member. It can be a complete stranger who is speaking the word of God, who's living out the word of God in their life, who's telling other people about Jesus. The seed is the word of God. This Jesus, when he's explaining this parable in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, he says this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Now, the word of God has power, just as a seed has power. Have you ever seen like that illustration on Facebook, I believe, or I've heard like a motivational speaker holding up a seed and saying, "What do you see here?" And some people say, "I just see a seed." And the motivational speaker will say, "No, I see a plant or I see a tree." That seed has the power it needs to turn into a plant. That seed has the power it needs to turn into something else, something greater, but it needs the right conditions. Well, the same is true of the Word of God. The Word of God has the power to change lives, but it needs the right conditions. And that's where we get to the soil. The soil represents the condition of our hearts. The heart in Scripture and in this time frame when Jesus is teaching, the heart represents the center of your being. And it was understood that everything comes out of the heart. So if the conditions of the heart are right, then you're probably going to live a righteous life. But if the condition of your heart is not right, then you're probably not going to live a righteous life. And so what Jesus is getting at here is that the soil represents the conditions of our hearts. And so if our hearts are right, then when that word of God, that seed that has the power to become something bigger, when it gets planted into our hearts, into the right conditions, it's going to turn into something great and beautiful. Our soil, it has to be good soil or it won't happen. And that doesn't happen accidentally. The whole point of this parable is for us to examine ourselves to see whether we are good soil or not. And so what I want you to know today before we dive into this is that you determine whether you are good soil or not. You determine the condition of your heart through your will. That's not something that anyone else determines. You deliberately choose whether you are good soil or not. So the question that's going to take over this sermon today is this: will you choose to be good soil? Will you choose to be good soil? Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Let's read verses 5 through 8 where Jesus is teaching this to his followers. And then we'll go through each type of soil and the attributes that make up that soil. Verse 5 says, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up." We're going to call that soil hard soil. "Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and it yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown." When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." So Jesus is teaching this parable and he goes through this four soils, and people would have understood this during that time. For those of us that may not be good at planting things, maybe we don't understand this, but there are farmers in this room that understand it. My dad would understand it. There are people in Seagrove that would understand it because the condition of the soil determines how the seed or the crop is going to do. And so I want to first start with good soil. What are some attributes of someone who is good soil? First, they are these people who go all in with God. They go all in with God. This seed, the Word of God, it goes in the ground and it roots and it becomes something great. It becomes something that affects other people's lives. It becomes something that other people are aware of because that person has gone all in with God. It becomes a plant that becomes something beautiful. And any good plant, any plant or tree or anything like that is going to produce fruit if it is healthy. And so when we talk about fruit for a Christian, we know about the fruits of the Spirit. So anyone who is good soil, they're going to go all in with God. There's going to be no part of them that's held back from God. And they are going to produce a lot of fruit in their life, and that includes the fruits of the Spirit. They're not only going to say they're a Christian, they're going to act like they're a Christian. You're going to see the evidence in their life that they are different from the world, that they are different from other people because they have Jesus in them. But also someone that's good soil who's had this word planted in their life, they are going to make disciples. Because what do seeds do? Seeds reproduce. A plant grows up, the seed falls off, and it starts another tree, it starts another plant. You know, followers of Jesus are called to do that same thing. We are called to reproduce. We are called to be and make disciples. That's the core of our calling that Jesus gave us, is that we are to make disciples of Him. And so something we have to be intentional about doing, if we want to be good soil, we must intentionally be pouring ourselves out into others. Because then they'll become a plant. And they'll reproduce. And all of a sudden you have disciples making disciples who make disciples because you're planting in people who are good soil. Someone who falls into this category, they're at church regularly. They're reading their Bible. They're praying. They're mature followers of God. And a mature follower of God is always going to be growing. They're always going to be bringing others to Jesus around them. They're going to be spreading the gospel of Jesus. So are you good soil? Let's go to the next one, thorny soil. Here's what Jesus said about it when he's explaining this passage later on in Luke chapter 8. He said, the seed that fell among the thorns, it stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Thorny soil represents people who receive the word. So when in our modern language, we would say they got saved at some point. They declare that they're a follower of Jesus at some point in their life, but ultimately they get distracted with the temptations of life. In fact, look at the way Jesus put it. They are choked by life's worries. So when I say the temptations of life, I'm not just talking about, I hear that vibration or whatever it is, and I don't know what it is. So when I say temptations of life, I'm talking about worries too, things that distract them. Just go and give me another microphone. Things that distract them from following God. That's what the thorns represent, as something that is distracting them from following God. Temptations of life that are designed to take our focus off of God. There are things in our life that are not blatant sins that are designed to take our focus off of God. Worries is one of them. Riches is the root of all evil. Randy likes my Britney Spears microphone. I don't like teaching with a microphone in my hand. I don't know why, but Don and Kathy don't like it either. They like doing announcements, though. They told me they love doing announcements. They did not tell me they like doing announcements. Anyway, would the thorns represent anything that distracts you from God? And what the thorns does in a plant is it chokes out the fruit. So good soil, they're going to produce fruit. The thorny soil represents thorns that are going to choke out the fruit. So, yeah, they might love God, they're a follower of God, but they're not giving up these other things in life to produce all the fruit that they ultimately could produce. In other words, this person is someone who's distracted between God and the world. They are part of the way in and they're part of the way out. They get distracted by life's worries. They get distracted by riches, the root of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And they get distracted by pleasures, which represents sin. When we sin, we're going against God's word and we're doing something because we feel like it's best for us, even though it's not. And so these people, they get distracted with all these other things. And ultimately, they never mature. They never turn into something that God ultimately desires for them to be. So I think God has a plan and a purpose for us that's greater than what we could ever ask for or imagine. Every single person in this room. And when we allow these thorns to distract us and to cut us off, we never reach that spot. Because what those thorns are doing is they are taking away our time and our attention and all these other things that we could be using to spend time with God. In actual soil, there's a limited amount of nutrients, just like there's a limited amount of time for you in your life. When the thorns, the weeds, are taking those nutrients, my grass is not going to look as good. When you have things in your life that's taking away your time, your nutrients that you can give to the Word of God so that it becomes something great in your life, when you are giving away that time and that effort and that focus, you're not investing in something that's actually going to matter in the long run. And so you never mature to the point where you produce fruit and make other disciples and reach that point of being good soil. So these people are the people who go to church. They may even read their devotional in the morning. They have good morals. But when it comes to actually sacrificing time, effort, money, relationships, they back off. They do just enough to get by. When it comes to attending one of our table gatherings or discipling others or serving the community or spreading the love of Christ, they respond with simply, "I don't have the time." Why is that? Because there's other things taking up your time. They may live a good life, but they never produce the fruit in their life that God desires for them to produce. I think this is a picture of the American church today. If I had to throw a stat out there, I would say about 80% of people sitting in seats this morning, not just necessarily our church, but just period, fall into this category. They're part of the way in. They're part of the way out. They are content with having thorns in their life, and it's choking out all the things that they could produce. Now, notice, Jesus does not say these people are not Christians. They just aren't the Christians that they could be, and therefore don't impact the world in the way he desires for them to, because their attention is divided, and they're not all in. So the chances of you being this type of soil is pretty high, probably. Because unfortunately, the way that we have set up discipleship in the American church today, we're producing people that are like this. People that have settled with coming to church on Sunday morning, and that's basically being all the time they're going to give to God throughout their week. Church, that's not how it's supposed to be. Let's go to the third one, rocky soil. Jesus says this, "Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away." So when it falls on rocky ground, it's hard for the root to go down in there. So when times of testing, times of temptation, times of rough times come, what ends up happening is they end up blowing right over. they end up falling away. So people who are rocky soil, they receive the word with joy. That's the language that Jesus used. They receive the word with joy, which means they become a Christian and they're excited to follow Jesus. These are the people who you see come up to the altar and just weep and pour out their hearts before God. They are enthusiastically becoming a follower of Jesus. But ultimately what happens is they got caught up in the motions of what's going on at the time. They raise their hand, they go to the altar, they get prayed over, but it's not a real commitment. Then they leave, they go back home, and when it's time for them to make some type of sacrifice for God, they don't, and they end up falling away. These people may even believe for a time period. Could be a few weeks, could be a few days, could be a few months. But their commitment to God is shallow. I think one reason why they possibly gave their life to God at some point is because they just wanted a better life. And they thought their idea of God is that he will help them in their need, but he won't require them to change. That's not God. Unfortunately, I think a lot of our TV pastors and a lot of mega churches and a lot of feel-good pastors are making followers that are rocky soil. I've been to a mega church before, and between the fog and the lights and the yelling and then the calm, you think God's there. But what they did is they took you on this emotional roller coaster. And ultimately, they have manufactured a move of God to make you think God's there. And just speaking from experience, people I've seen that go to churches like that, they end up, yes, they come to faith in Jesus and they're excited. And it seems like they're converting to Christianity. But then a few weeks later, they're out living a fool and don't even act like a Christian. They fall away because they have no root. Notice Jesus says it's when testing comes. The picture that I got in my head is when the winds begin to blow, when the storm comes, and you know the storms are going to come in life. That's when these people fall away. And you better believe the devil is going to attack when you become a Christian. He's going to want to take you out, but you know one reason why God allows it and why I think Jesus used this term, testing? It's because God allows times of testing so that we can see which type of soil we are. Because the good thing is that even if you discover today that you are rocky soil, God allows you to repent. God allows you to turn around, seek forgiveness, and receive forgiveness, and live for him. And we're going to talk about how to be good soil before you leave today. God allows testing in our life so that we can see which type of soil we are. But people who fall into this category, when the life gets rough, they give up. And I think these people can be described by the word inconsistent. I've seen people come in and out of this church over the last 7 years. When things get rough in their life, that's when they start seeking God. And then something comes and blows them over again, and they're done. And then they come back again, and then done. It's just a plant that's constantly trying to come up, falls over. Comes up, falls over. Comes up, falls over. Why? Because there's no root system. Because they're rocky soil. Let's go to the hard soil. Luke 8:12. Jesus says, those along the path. So think about, they would travel on dirt roads back then. So my parents, they live on a farm, and between my parents' house and my grandma's house, there's a path. And on that path, there's cornfields on both sides. Cornfields or hayfields, whichever one it is that season. And so we constantly would ride golf carts, three-wheelers. We didn't have four-wheelers, three-wheelers. Up and down that path, Kubota, whatever Dad has at the time. We'd constantly ride it up and down that path. And so sometimes some of the corn that's being planted would get thrown onto the path. Do you think the corn ever came up on the path? No. because the path's been beaten down hard. It was rocky too, but it was beaten down hard. And so the corn that got left on the path would actually fall down into the ditch, and sometimes it would go in the ground in the ditch, but never would there be any corn up on the path. Why? Because it's hard. It cannot penetrate the ground. And so that represents people who may hear the word, but then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. So these people, they may hear the word of God being spoken. It lands on their hearts, but they don't take it in. The word never implants into their hearts. Notice it says that the devil takes it away. Kind of represents, I thought about a crow coming down to take the corn away from the path. The devil will snatch it away because it never goes in the ground. Why is it not going in the ground? Because their hearts have been hardened. They've hardened their hearts for whatever reason to the point where they don't want to hear what God has to say to them. And the result, the unfortunate result, is they never are saved. People come in and out of this church. There are people out in this world who are just not interested in hearing the word of God. And Jesus warned us that there would be people like that. Their soil has become hard. So after going through those four, which one sounds the most like you? If you're good soil, then are you giving God your all? Or are there still things in life that bring you away from God? If so, you're probably thorny soil. Are you inconsistent in your faith based off your circumstances and desires at the time? If so, you're probably rocky soil. Are you hesitant to receive Jesus into your heart? Then your soil is probably hard. But I want to remind you today, you determine what soil you are. Not God, not your parents, you. And so the goal for all of us is to be good soil, or actually what I'm meaning there is to get the condition of our heart right. So how do we get the condition of our heart right? I got three ways to do that, and then a fourth one that will kind of summarize them all. But how to become good soil? First, be broken. Be broken. There's a conversation I had in my head, that the one that kind of led to this whole series, and I thought about asking someone, are you good soil or are you bad soil? And if I asked you that today, I think most of us would probably answer, before this sermon, or especially someone who's never heard of Jesus, they would say, well, what do you mean? What makes someone that is good soil? And then you explain it to them, and they would probably say that they are bad soil. They are bad soil because of all the bad things they've done in their life, because of a lot of the bad things that have been done to them, because of the mistakes they made, because they know they aren't great. I think we all are very aware of our shortcomings. I think we all are very aware of the times in our past where we messed up, where we've done something wrong, where we treated someone badly, where we sinned against God and against others. I think we know that. And I think we often disqualify ourselves because of those things. We may even know right now how bad of a person we are deep down. We know that we still make mistakes. We know that we still mess up. And some people would disqualify themselves from being good soil because of that. But something I learned growing up on a chicken farm is that one of the best ways to make the soil better is to spread the manure out on it. In fact, when I went to pick up Elijah on Thursday, that smell was real strong, so Dad must have just put it out. Dad was a chicken farmer, and my uncle was a chicken farmer, so we had no shortage of chicken manure. And they would often spread the manure out on the fields. And the manure would help the plants grow. Well, you probably have a lot of manure in your life. I thought about using other terms, but if I used other terms, my mom's going to get on to me tomorrow when she listens to the sermon. You have a lot of manure in your life. You have a lot of stuff that you've done wrong. You've made a lot of mistakes. But that manure is what will actually make you good soil. Why? Because that stuff is what breaks us. And being broken is a good thing. God is in the business of rebuilding broken people. Psalm 51:17 says, "The sacrifice you desire is a broken heart. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." We need to be broken before God. We need to know the weight of our sin. We need to know the weight of the things we carry. We need to know the mistakes that we made. We need to know that we are broken and that without God, we have no hope. I was thinking about the Beatitudes. If you go through the Beatitudes, that describes someone who's broken. Blessed are those who are mourned, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who have a broken spirit, is what it essentially means, because theirs is the kingdom of God. It's those who are broken, who need God. Those are exactly the people that God will use. Why? Because the condition of their heart is right. If you think that you have it all together, it's going to be hard for God to implant His word into that soil. And that leads into this next point. We need to be humble. Humility is key to anything in our relationship with God. It is hard for God to reach a prideful person who thinks they have it all together. It takes someone knowing they need God in order for God to be able to implant into their hearts. God speaks the most strongly against prideful people. Jesus spoke the most strongly to the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the time. Why? Because they were full of pride. Here's what Jesus said: those who exalt themselves will be humble. Those who think they're so much better than everyone else, who are prideful, they're going to be humbled. But those who humble themselves will be exalted. To be humble means to not think more of oneself than you should. Does not mean you think lower of yourself than you should. It just means you just don't think more of yourself than you should. You don't become full of yourself. You must be self-aware of who you are. If you are humble, you're going to know your imperfections. You're going to know all the times you messed up. And you're also going to want to grow. I thought about changing this point to being teachable. But that goes with being humble. You're going to want to learn more. You're going to want to receive the Word of God. Your heart's not going to be closed. Your heart's going to be open saying, "God, give me what you want me to hear." And you're always going to want to grow. Be broken. Be humble. And the last one is be resilient. Here's what I mean. Don't give up. Keep going. Don't stop when the going gets tough. Now, be honest with you, when I was thinking through this sermon, this was not the point that I was going to include here. But then I read, when Jesus was explaining this parable to his disciples, he said a key point here. He says, "The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart." I would say that's a humble heart, that's a broken heart. "Who hear the word, they retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." That's a key I've never seen before for someone who wants to be good soil. Someone who is good soil, they are going to persevere. They're not going to give up when the going gets tough. They're not going to be a wimpy Christian. We've got to be Christians that are willing to fight with God and for God through all the fires in our life. Because you better believe the devil's going to throw stuff at you. And those things are designed to take you out. And those things can change the condition of your heart. It can make you bitter towards God. It can make your heart hard towards God. It can take you from being good soil to rocky soil, to hard soil even. That's why we must be resilient. We've got to keep being committed to God. We've got to be good soil. And if you are good soil, the good news is that God will work in and through you in powerful ways. In and through. We often want the through part. We want God to work through us. We want God to do great things through us, but ultimately He has to work in us to work through us. When we're talking about the Word of God This whole time I've kind of been speaking as it as the gospel. But in John 1:14, we're told who the Word of God is. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The Word of God is Jesus. And you can invite Jesus into your life. When someone's preaching Jesus, what they're telling you is to accept Jesus into your life. And the Word says that when we accept Jesus into our life, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, indwells in us and works in us and through us. And so when we talk about the Word of God, what we're talking about is Jesus. And when you invite Jesus, when you are good soil, guess what? Jesus is going to do a work in you. We're told in Philippians 1:6, I read this verse a few weeks ago, that we can be confident in this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Notice it does not say that the Word, the Bible, does the work in you. It's He who does the work in you. It's Jesus who does the work in you. I think we often get this idea that if we want to grow in our relationship with God, that we have to make ourselves grow. But that's literally impossible. You can know this Bible inside and out, but if you do not have Jesus, it is not going to change you. There are people, professors, that know more about the Bible than I do, than you do. But ultimately, you know the Word better than they do because you know the person. And because you know the person, He's doing this work in you. The word we use to talk about becoming more Christ-like or that transformation that happens in us is called sanctification. And you don't have to figure out how to sanctify yourself. God does that in you. But you do determine whether the condition of your soil is right. And you determine the condition of your soil by the actions you take in your life. The more time you spend with the Word of God, the more He's going to transform you. And not only will He work in you, but ultimately God will work through you. God will do some powerful things through you if you allow Him to. Things that will bring family members, friends, and complete strangers into the community of God. Things that will change a community. Things that will shake the very gates of hell. But you have to choose to be good soil. To be broken before God, to be very aware of your shortcomings and sins, to be humble, asking God to teach you and to change you, and to be resilient. But ultimately, this is how I want to end today, ultimately to be good soil, you must be surrendered. Ultimately to be good soil, we must be surrendered. We must surrender our heart to Jesus. That's where it all starts. Saying, God, here it is. Here's my life. Do with it what you want. And then when the worries and problems and temptations and pleasures of life comes, when those thorns begin to poke and take away some of the fruit, when the thorns begin to take up some of the nutrients, what you do with those thorns is you choose to till them out. But you can't till them out. Only God can. So you tell the farmer, you tell the gardener, you tell the sower, you ask Him to take these things away from us. You ask Him to help us to become strong and overcome these thorns, overcome these temptations, overcome these worries, overcome these problems in our life so that we can produce the fruit that He's called us to produce. And if you do that, I believe the gardener will. The farmer will. And He'll work through you in ways that you never thought was possible. I've seen it. If I'm being honest with you, I've been in all four of these categories at different points in my life. I've been that person who's not a Christian, who doesn't want to hear the word spoke. I got saved when I was young, but before that, yeah, I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to go to church. I've been that inconsistent Christian who, when the storms of life comes, what God had done in my life would get blown over. That plant would get blown over. And I've spent a lot of time in the thorny soil, where the thorns of life cut off the fruit, all the fruit that ultimately God wants to produce through me. And I've spent time in the good soil. My question for you today is this: which soil are you currently in? I'm going to put it up on the screen, just kind of a summary for each one. And the way God told me we need to end today is that you have a note card located in the seat in front of you. And if you're on the back row, it's behind you. And if you're on the front row, you'll just have to grab one from behind you. On that note card, what I want you to do, I want you to go and grab it. And I want you to write on that note card which type of soil you are. Don't write your name on it. Don't write your name on it. I want you to just write what type of soil you are. Are you good soil? Are you thorny soil? Are you rocky soil? Are you hard soil? And the whole purpose of that is for you to become self-aware of where you are. And not only be self-aware of where you are, but also attempt to become good soil. So I want you to write down, which soil are you currently? Be honest, you're going to turn these in, but don't write your name on them. And don't be ashamed to put good soil. If you really feel like you are good soil, that's okay. Because if you think you're good soil, guess what you're doing? You're admitting that you still need to grow. Now, if you're not good soil, I want you to write down, what can you do? What are some practical things you can do this week to become good soil? Is it a schedule change? Is it spending more time with God? Is it you need to become even more broken and aware of your sins? What is it that you need to do in order to get the thorns out of your life? Or if you're rocky soil and you're inconsistent, what do you need to do to get those rocks out? It all starts with going to God. It's God who does that. But what I'm saying is you've got to surrender some things to God. You've got to surrender your time to God. Maybe you've got to surrender time in order to read the Bible every day, or surrender some time in order to pray to God. Or maybe you just need to take more time spending with God one-on-one, out in nature, whatever it may be. What do you need to do to become good soil? When you finish writing down, you can stand to your feet. And worship team, you can come on up.